didn't believe that either, but that's what he said.
Yeah. I really was, too. Louisville had a good team, but not good enough. I was amazed. Well, I better not start about football. I need to get that. That was a great game, though. In your Bibles, let's look at our study notes first. We want to see some evidence of why we believe that the millennium comes where it does. And before we do, I want to ask some things I want you to think about. Right now, and we're living in the Roman period in the times of the Gentiles. And when you think about it, what's Satan doing now? I want us to think about what's Satan doing now. Is he here? Now, yes, I think he is. I think he's in this world, and he's giving us all kinds of trouble. And I'll show you scripture. And what about lost people? Well, they're here too, but let's take a look at that. What about saved people? Because you'll notice in each of these periods, it begins after Christ comes, saying people change who's on the earth and who's not on the earth. And if people are not on the earth, they can't be in the millennium if the millennium is on the earth. So I want to approach it from that standpoint. And let's take a look, first of all. We saw the times of the Gentiles. That's when we're living in the period of Rome, in the latter part of that period. And what comes next is the second coming of Christ. Now, we don't know whether it'll be tomorrow or whether it'll be 500 years from now. Nobody knows the day or hour, the year, the month, but we need to be ready at all times. And it could be, as far as my study of Scripture goes, I don't know of anything that hasn't been fulfilled that has to be fulfilled before the second coming. But the Bible's a big book, and I've studied it, but at the same time, I certainly don't know everything about it. But as far as I can tell, everything's been fulfilled before the second coming that has to be fulfilled. And so let's take a look here at the time we're living in right now. What does the Bible say about what's Satan doing? Well, here in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, listen to this verse in verse 7. The fifth chapter, verse 7, 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is on the job right now. The fallen angels that are working with him, they're on the job right now. We can't see him with our eyes, but the Bible warns us to be careful because Satan is here. When Jesus was here at his first coming, and came the first coming in the early days of the Roman period, and it says that Satan tempted Jesus, but Jesus didn't sin. Matthew, the fourth chapter, tells how Satan tried to trip Jesus up. He was here in this world, and he was trying to undermine the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Does he try to tempt you, the fallen angels? Are there powers that are more powerful than ourselves that try to trip us up? Certainly are here. The Bible warns us against that. And the Lord warned his disciples about Satan. Told Peter, when he was making the wrong comments, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Being used by Satan. He didn't mean to. Here was a saved man. And sometimes we can be misused by Satan too. And so you'll notice right now, and yet the Bible is very clear in the millennium, Satan is not here. He's in the bottomless pit, and he's chained there. So the millennium's not going on right now. And it's not going on in a spiritual sense, and it's not going on in a literal sense. And so that's why I'd say, hey, amillennialists and postmillennialists can't be right if it was just for that one point. All right, let's notice, what does the Lord say that we're to do? We know saved people are here upon the earth. Many of our brothers and sisters in Christ have died and gone on to be with the Lord. But we're still here, and we'll be here. There will always be some saved people here till Jesus comes. So we're going to be here. What about lost people? Well, they're certainly here. We're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel that people might be saved. Well, we see people all over the world that don't believe as we believe. They have not accepted Christ as their Savior. And so when you think about the situation with Satan and the fallen angels, they're very much on the job right now trying to undermine everything that the Lord wants us to do. And we're here, saved people, or some saved people are here, and some lost people. And yet in the millennium, as I study it, and as we'll get to in a little while, the only people I find on earth during the millennium is saved people. And so, can't be now for that reason. All right, let's take a look here when Christ comes in the air. What happens then? The first thing, and we mentioned this the last time, what happened to the same people? We're here. When he appears in the clouds, we're here. Saved people are here. What happens then? We're changed in a moment and twinkling an eye and caught up to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and other passages of scriptures. So we're caught up. Then what happens to us? This is right when he comes, when he begins to rule with a rod of iron. The first thing he does is get us out to a safe place so that we will not be destroyed by the fire that's coming. Hold your place here. Or, well, you can, you don't need to hold it. Just turn over to Isaiah, the 26th chapter. When we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, what happens to us then? Isaiah, the 26th chapter, talks about it. Here's Isaiah writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 26th chapter of Isaiah, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. He's talking about the resurrection. Isaiah said, I'm going to die. Isaiah's been dead for a long time. His body's been in the grave. His soul is with the Lord. And other Christians, the same thing. He said, thy dead men shall live. They're going to be resurrected. Together with my dead body, that's Isaiah, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. There's coming a day when the dead are going to be cast out of the dust. Instead of being in the grave, instead of being returned to the dust, to dust, they're going to, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, be changed to a glorious body, come out of the dust. And he said, start rejoicing. There's a day coming, the resurrection. Now, he's describing what is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And then it goes on to say, verse 20, come, my people, he's talking about saved people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. When our dead bodies come out, we're caught up to meet the Lord. And then what does he say? Enter into thy chambers. In my Father's house are many mansions. But we're not, so I would have told you. I believe then we're going up to one of those mansions, one of those dwelling places in heaven. And we're going to be up there. So why don't you stay down here and your property down here? The Lord's called me home. I'm going to that mansion up there. He said, behold, there's many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And when our bodies come out, that's where we're going to go. And we're going to be up there until the indignation be passed. Because as soon as we're out, the indignation of fire comes upon the earth and destroy this world. Look again at verse 20. Come, my people, that's the people who are saved by His grace, enter thou into thy chambers, that place, that mansion prepared for you, and shut thy doors behind thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation, His wrath that's coming upon the earth shall be passed. He takes His people out so we don't have to go through that indignation of fire. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. A day of accountability. A day when the nations would be destroyed. And here's where the nations are going to be destroyed as nations. Individuals are going to talk about a judgment of them individually at the great white throne. We'll see that later. But as nations, they'll be destroyed. And they will never function again as nations again because God's indignation, He's long-suffering, but the time has come. He said, that's it. Take my people out. Come on up to the mansion I prepared for you. You've been saved. Christ has paid for a place up here. And we're caught up to meet Him in the air in our new glorified bodies. And we enter into a safe place until His indignation upon the earth, which is fire to destroy, is past. So when He's ruling with a rod of iron, we might be there for the first moment. But that's it. We're going to be changed a moment in a twinkling of an eye and be caught up to meet Him in the air. The first thing He said, I want my people in a safe place. Amen. And He takes us out. Because that rod of iron is about to come down upon a wicked, sinful world. He said, I've been patient. I've been long-suffering. I've given them the opportunity to repent of their sins and trust Christ. And they haven't. And now the time of destruction on this earth has come. And so when He's ruling with a rod of iron, we won't be on the earth. And yet in the millennium, Christians, it says, will be here. So they can't be here during the rod of iron the way I read the Bible. And so here, changed to new bodies, raptured, caught to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord destroys this world by fire. We're not being destroyed. We're in a safe place. And then it mentions that there will be a new perfect earth. Now, we want to notice again, let's look at another passage of Scripture and see what it says. Let's look at Revelation, the 19th chapter. Here it talks about this end of the coming with a rod of iron. 19th chapter. Look at verse 11. Now, Jesus came in the clouds. We get our new bodies. We're caught up to meet Him in the air. Then His wrath begins to come upon the world. And it comes, and it comes. And now it comes near to the end of it, to this judgment, this period of the rod of iron period when He's destroyed. And I think this is destroying right at the end of that period when it says in verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge. He's judging the nations and make war. He's going to destroy them with fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Nobody can really understand the greatness of God and all that name implies. We know about his power and his wisdom and his love, but it's still, we can really not understand him, can we? He's too great for our little minds. And then verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. It's talking about Jesus Christ as the King of Kings. He's coming back now to take charge right at the end of the rod of iron period. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who are these? Those who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness has been imputed to us. We've been in a safe place in heaven. Now we're coming back with Him at the end of this rod of iron period. You say, how long is that period? I don't know. I don't think it'll be very long, though. When the Lord destroyed the world by water, it took about a year from beginning when it was destroyed, the old earth, till the new one came out of the water as a new earth. And there's going to be a fire, and I don't think it'll be very long. It may be less than a year. It may be days. It may be months. I don't know. But one thing for sure, we're going to come back with Him. Now, we don't need to be in a safe place. We can come back. It's ready to take charge of the new earth. Look at verse 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. This is talking about Christ, the King of Kings. And with it, that He should smite the nations. He speaks the word and deals with them. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron. See, there's that term. And He's gone right to the end when He's going to whack them a time or two and come right to the end of the whole thing. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And it's talking about a destruction of every type of lost person on the earth, all of them. You just notice that the mighty men and the free men, the bond, those that are in slavery, those that are small, those that are great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, the leaders. Of course, the beast here, I think, is the Antichrist and his political power. And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army right at the end of it. The last part of the rod of iron period, he's going to destroy, and the last destruction comes upon him. And the beast was taken, and the false prophet. And I think the beast is the Antichrist in his political power. The false prophet is the Antichrist in his religious power. We think they're fulfilled by the two aspects of the Pope today. And it has been for many, many years. That wrought miracles before him, and which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Here the leaders are thrown in there. And the remnant and the rest of the lost people, see, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, if you have the leaders, and they're put in the lake of fire, and the remnant are completely destroyed, doesn't sound like any lost people are on the earth anymore. Well, let's notice, go a little bit further. What about Satan and the fallen angels? Chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after this, he must be loosed a little season. So where is he during the millennium? Satan is taken, put in the bottomless pit, and he's chained there. Now, the Bible talks about Satan being in the bottomless pit before this, but he wasn't chained. He could come and go. That was his, after he was put out of heaven. We'll show you in just a moment. When he was put out of the heaven at one time, he was no greater or more powerful angel than Satan himself. But then he sinned against God, and when he rebelled against God, God cast him out of heaven, and his that wasn't his home anymore. He might try to attack heaven by different things that he does and try to undermine heaven, but that's not his home anymore. He's cast out, and I'll show you, he was cast down into the earth. And underneath the earth, when you get underneath the earth, that is the deep, the abyss, the Bible makes clear. And he's put in the bottomless pit. And there he begins to operate, and he continues to operate through this time that we're living in and throughout all of history up till he's cast down there. When is he cast down there? When the Lord comes at the second coming, the rod of iron period, the lost from the kings down to the slaves, from the wise men and the rich and the powerful people right down to the people that have no fame in this world. All of them are lost. All of those people are put to death. Satan is put in the bottomless pit, but this time he's not there as just a home where he can come and go. He's chained there and cannot get out during the 1,000-year period. And so you look at that and you say, let's see, Satan's not there. The fallen angels are not there on the earth. They're in the bottomless pit. And the lost are in hell. They've all been destroyed by the fire no matter who they were, leaders or kings or right the Antichrist or whoever, right down to the lowest, they're not there. But who is on the earth now, new heavens and earth? The saved are. Before we go into that a little more, let me show you a passage, a scripture in Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation, the 12th chapter. Look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Of course, the dragon here makes clear is Satan. And just a couple of verses, it says it's Satan. And so here's Michael and his angels. I think that's Christ and his angels. And then they fought against Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels. They were fighting against him. And they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Until he sinned, he was in heaven. That was his home. Now he's kicked out of his home, so to speak. Put it in everyday language. He's been put out of heaven. Goes in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. He's cast out of where? Heaven. He's called the old serpent. The serpent that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's called the devil and Satan. And so it makes it clear, if you have any doubts who that a great dragon is, it's the devil, it's Satan, it's the old serpent, the one which deceiveth the whole world. He's always on going about, then going around seeking whom he may devour, like a roaring lion. He was cast out into the earth. And so here he is in heaven as his home. Now he's cast out of heaven, and he goes into the earth. Now, this preposition, I looked it up. It's one that's used often in the Bible. And it sometimes means because of, sometimes in order to, sometimes in, sometimes into. And it has a host of different meanings depending on the context. It's the preposition ace, very common preposition in the Greek language. And I think what it's making clear goes into the earth. Now, other passages of Scripture mentions a place called the deep or the bottomless pit or the pit. And the word in the Greek language is the word abyss, the abyss. And the abyss is underneath the surface of the earth, the great depth down there. Now, whereabouts in the great depth? Well, I don't know for sure, but the way I understand it, here is Satan up here. He had his home. He's cast out. He said, this is not your home anymore. You've sinned against God. He get kicked out of heaven. All the angels that sinned with him, they got kicked out. They're cast out of heaven. They're cast down to the earth, but not just to the surface of the earth, into the earth. And that becomes their home. That doesn't mean that they're always at home. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not locked in there. He's not confined to that. But that's now his home. He's cast out. And so, and here it mentions he was cast out when he sinned, cast out to the earth. And then it says specifically into the earth. In the same book of Revelation, let's turn back to the 9th chapter. And here it mentions something that's rather interesting. And here's the word, and the fifth angel sounded, verse 1, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Well, I think that star that fell from heaven, Satan is likened to a star. He fell into sin against God. And where did he end up? He fell, he fell from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now notice, he's cast down, but he has the key. This is his home. He says, you're not living up here anymore. You're cast down. And I think he's cast down to the pit. And the word here that's used here, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, that's the word abyss. Some places it's just called the pit. Sometimes it's called the deep. It's different words. And other words, too, that are mentioned, but the one that I'm interested in is the deep. And, of course, when you go beneath the surface of the earth, you're into the deep. And the deep is very deep. It goes from the surface of the earth all the way down throughout all the depth of the earth. Whereabout in that depth is his particular home? I don't know, but I think it's he's not omnipresent. Satan is not omnipresent, but he is put down there, and that becomes his home. But he is not chained there. When you come to the millennium, it talks about now he is chained. There's house arrest. That's his home that's been. He's been coming and going, causing all the trouble he can on the earth. But now He's doing what he can, but where's his headquarters? It's beneath the surface of the earth in a place called the bottomless pit. Is he locked up there where he can't get out? No. That's his headquarters. Just like the angels in heaven, sometimes they're up there, sometimes they're doing God's business, they're here and there throughout the universe. And so with Satan, that's his home. But now, in the millennium, it makes it very clear that he came with a chain, and he is bound, he's locked there, and he cannot get out during the 1,000 years. So, when you start thinking about that, you say, wait a minute. Satan is bound during that time. We notice in the 19th chapter, we could go further there and talk, see some other scriptures, but I think that proves my point, what I'm trying to say. Here, Satan can come and go, but now during 1,000 years, something happens during the millennium that has never happened before. Now he is confined there to, so to speak, house arrest, and he cannot leave. Notice again what it said in the second chapter, 20th chapter in verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, he was not bound before. I mean, bound where he couldn't go anywhere. In verse 3 it said, and cast him into the bottomless pit, that is the abyss, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Well, before this, before the rod of iron period, where was he? He was on the earth deceiving everybody he could. But he can't deceive them anymore during the 1,000 years. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. after that, he must be loosed a little season. And so, in the 19th chapter, another passage is, it makes it clear that when Christ comes, takes the saved safely out, he destroys this world by fire. What's the result? Every lost person, from kings right down to slaves, are put in prison. They're put in the lake of fire. They're destroyed for as far as this world is concerned. They're put in the other world in a place of suffering and fire. Where is Satan during this time? Satan is in the bottomless pit, but this time, instead of just coming and going, he is locked there. He's chained there. He is bound. He cannot get out. Where are the saved? They've come back with the Lord, and we see right after all this is done in the 20th chapter that these that come back with Christ that are in white robes, representing righteousness of Christ, Christ the King of Kings, his people that he has saved by his grace, they come back to this earth. And notice what it goes on to say in chapter 20. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. You go back, who sat upon them? The people that came on white horses with Christ, the King of Kings, when they came from the safe place in heaven. They've been up there safely while the Lord with the rod of iron is destroying the world because of their sin, because they've never trusted Christ. And so now, after that, they can come back to the new earth. They came back with Christ at the very end to take charge of the new earth. And they sat on thrones. The Bible says we will rule and reign with Christ. Christ is the King of Kings, but we rule and reign with him. And so it said, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. He looks particularly, he said, the witnesses, the persecuted ones that stood for Jesus Christ. I saw them there. They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They stood for the truth in the Bible. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They've been up in heaven. Now they're going to live on the earth 1,000 years. They're going to live during the millennium. And they're reigning with him. But the rest of the dead lived not again. During the millennium, those that are not saved, those who have not believed on Christ, they do not live again. It's just told us in the previous chapter, they were all destroyed from the rulers, the Antichrist, all the way down to the slaves. All of the lost people, no matter what rank in life they had, all of those people have been put to death. And it says what the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So they're not here during the millennium. No lost people are here, no matter who they are, from high to the low. No Satan, no fallen angels are here, but the saved are here. Amen. They're the only ones here. So, in the rod of iron people period, where are we? Not on the earth. We're up in heaven till the very end. We come back with them. The first moment, we're taken out of the rod of iron. The last moments, we come back with the Lord. But we're not here during the rod of iron period, except the very first. We go up the first moment when we're changed, caught up to meet the Lord in there. We're taken to heaven. After all the destruction has come, then we come back at the very end of that destruction and take charge of the new heavens and new earth and reign with him. So during that period, the rod of iron, we're not on earth, but the lost are on earth being destroyed. Satan is being defeated. And then as soon as that rod of iron period is over, all the lost are in hell, suffering for their sins. And all the saved, what happened to Satan? He's in the abyss underneath the earth. chained there. And where are they saved? We're on the earth. The only ones that are here is Christ and His people during the millennium. Well, what about after the millennium? Notice the next thing that in the little season. We just notice after millennium, look at verse 3 again. You're talking about Satan. He's been bound in the bottomless pit. Now, at the end of the 1,000-year period, after that, he must be loosed a little season. And this next period is called a little season after the millennium. And Satan is let loose then. The saved, the lost, it mentions here that verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So they come out in the little season. Right after the 1,000 years is over, the lost come out of hell. Satan comes out of the bottomless pit. And then it goes on to tell what happens. They are then judged, their final judgment. At the end of this chapter, it tells about when they're taken out. They decide this is our only chance. We're going to revolt against the Lord now. And so they have an uprising. It's kind of like they're brought into court, so to speak. And they say, we're going to take care of things right now. And the Lord puts them down. And that's called the Battle of Gog and Magog. He calls it here the Battle of Gog and Magog. Satan is Gog. Magog is his people, the lost. They're put down. And then as soon as that's over, the judgment precedes. And Satan is put in the lake of fire forever. See that at the end of the chapter here, chapter 20. And then the lost are put in the lake of fire forever. Let's take a look here at a couple things here. Look at verse 10 of chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet. And I want you to notice something. You see the word are? Does your Bible show it that it's in italics? That word are is not in the Greek language. That's why it's shown to be italic. They've supplied it. They thought it was a good decision. But I differ with them. And so I want to show you what I think would be the better translation. Just leave it out. Where the beast and the false prophet also, and can mean and also or even here, also shall be tormented day and night forever. In other words, the beast and the false prophets weren't already there, but that's where they would be put as soon as the white throne judgment is finished. But Satan's put there first. And so he's in the lake of fire. Satan is put in the lake of fire, and there he'll be tormented, it says, day and night forever and ever. And then it said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. And it goes ahead and describes the judgment here. And then look, it tells about in the final there what happened. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, if you study all of those verses, you see Satan is put in the lake of fire in the little season right after the millennium is over. He's taken out of the lake of fire, given a fair judgment, then put in the lake of fire forever. The lost are taken out of hell where they've been suffering, and now they're given a fair judgment, the white throne judgment. Then they're put in the lake of fire forever and ever. And so as you go through, you'll see where everybody was in the rod of iron. Where are they safe? They're in a safe place. The first moment they go up to heaven, and right at the end they come back with the Lord. They're in a safe place. Who's on the earth? The lost and Satan. In the millennium, who's here? Only the saved people. The lost are in hell, awaiting the final judgment. Satan is bound up in the deep or the bottomless pit, and he's chained. He can't get out. When that little season is over, Christ and his people, who are we rule and reign with him, in the little season, Satan comes out. The lost comes out ready for judgment. They rebel. The Lord puts them down. Battle of Gog and Magog. And then Satan is judged, put in the lake of fire. The lost are judged, given fair judgment, put in the lake of fire. And then forever, who's here on the earth? The saved forever with the Lord. So I think if you look at all this, that's why I'm premillennial. That's why I think it's literal, because it's talking about a literal judgment here. And so if you read all of this and think about it, and then, you know, everybody has to be convinced in his own mind. You know, Christians do differ on some things because nobody knows it all. But I think we study this and say, Lord, what does your word say? Let me see what it is. Is Brother Overby's interpretation right or wrong? That's a fair question. If it's right, you need to accept it. If not, come show me where I'm wrong. Or if you don't want to do that, just keep believing what you want to believe, and we'll all be happy together. Okay. Well, that's my lessons on the time, the relative time. And I think it's right after, I think it comes after the second coming. And it's not in the rod of iron period. It's not in the little season period. But it's a period in between them when there's judgment for saved people. But tomorrow night we'll look about the judgment aspect of that. Brother?
People didn't have time to amen. That section is too busy writing things down. A lot of thought required for that past hour. A lot of differences with regard to Brother Obrey's view and the most common view on the millennium. The most common view has lost people on earth on the millennium. The most common view also has the millennium on this earth. Brother Obrey has it on the new earth. Am I right? And the people that Satan deceives is the resurrected lost. So that there's no saved here during the millennium. That's also a totally different and the most common view. I always felt that that made the most sense. I never really did understand. I mentioned it to the church last night. Us as a believer going out at the rapture, going to New Jerusalem, and then coming back and living 1,000 years in on this earth in the Middle East. Never did understand that. I think it makes good sense. There's a lot of things that questions is this going to generate from you all. And I pray that it does. And I'm ready to write them down. And Brother Obi will answer those questions on. He'll probably answer a lot of them as you hear the rest of the lessons. But he wants you to submit them. Submit them to me. And then he can answer those for you. We got this scheduled to go to 9:30. I mean, we do. You got all the time in the world, brother. So we plan for about 25, 20-minute break, and it can go to 9:30. You want to come back up and get started again? But you submit those questions to me. I mean, if you got them. And then now's the time. Well, he's here, too. And we'll get those covered this Saturday night. Does that sound fair enough for everybody? And then you search the Scriptures and see whether it's so. Let's all stand. Appreciate you coming. I was well pleased with the attendance tonight and the interest. And again, the ladies did an outstanding job with the refreshments next door. Very much appreciate the work and things that was involved in that. Try to come back at all possible tomorrow evening and pray that the Lord would continue to bless this study, bless Brother Obi as he preaches. That the Holy Spirit would give us understanding of what's being taught. Boy, I can't wait till tomorrow. Hate to leave. I'd love to sit another hour or two to listen to this teaching. So give me your questions. Remember the book's up front. If at all possible, be sure to come back tomorrow. And, of course, invite someone to come back with you. Brother Wayne Whittington, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?